Yeah, we're taping today's February 17th, Seven Minor Prophets. And we're learning the Yom Yomah today. To remind you that the Chazal say that Eliyahu had four students. One was Micha, again, not to be confused with the Micha, that's a Treyasar, a different guy. Obadiahu, who's called Yirei. It's Hashem Me'od. No one is ever called that in Tanakh. Yonah, who's ready to, he's called Tovei Alaved, the one who presses the case of Bnei Yisrael, even though that means that he's flying in the face of God's command and he's willing to die for it. Right? Micha, really need to know your Malachim Aleph, the end of Malachim Aleph, to figure out who this guy is. Micha allows himself to be the vehicle of a Ruach Sheker to convince Achav to engage in a ruinous battle where he would die. Right? And the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin says that this was a fanatical move for a prophet. Prophets should not be directing even a bad king in the direction of Sheker. If you know in your mind that this is a bad battle for Israel, don't try to induce and convince the king that he should fight because you think he's such a Russia and at least this would be a chance for him to die. So you have to, nobody always has to tell the truth. Okay? Gemara is a famous, have you seen the Gemara? Say in Mechitzasi. Hashem says, get out of my inner circle, get out of my Mechitza. The statement is actually made to the spirit. Not the actual Navi, but the spirit that emerges from the Navi. It's a little, very complicated. It's really complicated. Rashi in his Perush al Torah makes reference to this story very often when he refers to, you ever hear of this statement? Hashem u beis dino, God and his court, God and his hosts. He derives this from the story of Micha that describes, anthropomorphically perhaps, a bunch of heavenly beings to the right of God and to the left of God. Anthropomorphic, because you can't be there to the right or left of God. God is everything. Right? So those on the right of God are Melamed Zchus, and those on the left of God are Melamed Chova. And Micha is the one conjuring up all of this. Okay? So you see what happens to Eliyahu's students? They either go to one extreme or another. Right? These guys go off into the extreme of fanaticism. Micha and Obadiah do. To get the job done. And Yonah goes in the other direction. Right? He goes in the direction turning the other. He becomes the opposite of Eliyahu. Right? In fact, Eliyahu in this same Medrash that calls Yonah the Tovei Alaved. If you hear what Eliyahu is called in that midrash, can you figure it out? He's Tovei Alav. It's Eliyahu who presses the case of God to the extent where he doesn't seem to care about Israel anymore. When God asks him in the Haftorah coming up a few weeks, I'm not going to read it because it's one of the four parshios, but the Haftorah coming up in Parshas Kisisa, Hashem asks Eliyahu, What's on your mind, Eliyahu? What's going on? He speaks against Klal Yisrael. He says, not one of them still worships you, and I'm the only one who cares about you. And it's really a little over the top.
Isn't Elisha also the opposite?
So Elisha becomes, right, but he's a combination of both. Elisha's with the people. He doesn't hold back at all on God's message. Right? There is one Gemara that says that Elisha was made one arrogant statement about knowing that there's a prophet in Israel. But by and large, he's certainly the most popular of all the Nevi'im in Tanakh. Everything he does is out with the people, performing miracles for them, for food, for fresh water, for personal losses, for anything. You need a prayer answered, come to the... He's the Baba Sali of Malachim Aleph. Right? Okay, so again, I ask the question, must we say that according to the Vilna Gaon that Yonah is an allegory? Yonah doesn't really exist. The Gra knows as well as anyone in this class that there is a person named Yonah in Sefer Melachim. It's the same person, and he does exist. But it's not against any convention of Parshanut to say that his message is simultaneously a message of Pshat, while it is also a message about a human struggle for finding meaning in life. What's wrong with that? You should see what the Vilna Gaon does with Megillas Esther. I'm sure he knows that story is somewhat historical.
Right? Do we have historical evidence?
Of
either, I guess. This or Esther.
I don't have Mordechai and Esther, and I don't have a name Haman, but I do have Artaxerxes, or this Artaxasta.
Are there any other historians writing at the time that had either of these stories?
There is nothing that represents specifically this aspect of the story. There were decrees against all kinds of peoples in Tanakh, but like in Daniel's time, Daryovish, with Nebuchadnezzar. I'm just saying that the Vilna Gaon, while we've been working on his Perish to Yonah for some time, it's not the only book in the Tanakh where he does such a thing. I mean, he saw the Tanakh as a multi-layered book that has a pshat and a drash, and a deep drash.
So according to him, would this be pshat of Yonah?
It depends how you understand pshat. Pshat means the intention of the author, right? And then this question you can ask, what's the pshat of Shir Shir? Is it a man and woman in love, or is it God and his people? Right? I think what's a more important question is mashmalut. What's the mashmalut of the story? What's the literal meaning of the words of the story? It's a story about rebellion. There's a lot of aspects to it. And while Chazal were willing to say Eov did not necessarily have to live for us to derive the messages that he tried to impart, right? I'm not sure that we need to say the same thing regarding Yonah from the standpoint of Yonah.
It's
men's struggle with finding meaning in life. Are we going to find it in Tarshish? Are we going to find it in precious gems, in Yaffa, in beauty? Yeah, I'm sure there's some people think so. The women of Yishayahu Perek Gimel thought so. Remember that Perek where Yishayahu talks about 24 different types of gems and stones and perfumes and beautiful garments that the women obsessed over, that they forced their men into illicit behavior so that they could maintain the women's expensive tastes. So for them, everything in life was you know, enjoying and high society and high taste. Right? That's what will give meaning in life. Right? What book of Tanakh tries to dispel that? Try to think of it, yeah? These things are fleeting and they'll be gone from you quickly and...
Yeah.
Really, one whole book is really about the same thing, pursuit of meaning, and what is true meaning is Koheles. But also some second in Mishlei. Okay. Let's get back into Yonah Vayera, El Yonah Ra'o Gedolah Vayecha. Right. What is Yonah angry about? He's about to say. He's angry that God forgave these people wearing sackcloth. God, you're giving them such an easy way out. How are you letting them have their forgiveness so quickly? Yes?
When it says the word Yonah, so the Gra takes that to mean just man in general?
Yes, absolutely. Yonah ben Amittai, man in search of truth. he's the neshama. That's different parts of man are searching in different ways. What angers Yonah here is after following all the right directions, he did good to Nineveh. He did make a calling against it, right? This great city. But he doesn't get his expected response from Hashem. Okay. Now, I quoted Gemara and Moed Katan in these pages. Everyone have the page? I have extras here. I have one and two extras. So I quote the Gemara Moed Katan Daf Chavches. You see, one of the words is cut off. It says, Chai Mizoni Bini. Goes both ways in similar people, as in Moed Katan Chavches. And only Hashem knows the Cheshbon. This is what confounded Koheles, Habakkuk, Yirmiyahu, David, Moshe. Yonah is angered by Nineveh being able to eat at two shulchanot. That's how the Vilna Gaon expresses it. First of all, what is this Gemara? Chai mizoni ubeni talui b'mazel. Chai means how many years you'll live. Mizoni means how much you'll earn. Ubeni.
Children.
How your children will turn out. Requires some degree of luck. Now, you know, play the percentages. You know, let's say a rabbi is inclined to say something like, you know, exhort his members to that the father and the mother should attend a shir once a week and let the children know tonight is daddy's night for shir, right? So that the kids see that you know, you're out there, you go, you're interested in Torah, right? And then they'll show an interest. But if you send them to yeshiva and you expect them to learn all these extra hours, and it's good for them, but it's not good for you. You know, you're living like a hypocrite. Let them see that you know, not just I did my time until 8th grade, so 12th grade, now you have to do yours. No, let them see that you're doing what they're doing, right? So, you know, I can picture someone saying, you know, Rabbi, I learned Daf Yomi, I'm in the base medrash every day. Neither of my parents ever attended a shir. And my children don't want to. So what does that mean? You know, I'm showing my children that I love Torah, and I'm going every day to learn Torah, and they're not interested. And my parents weren't in, so of course that can happen. And lots of things out of the ordinary can happen. I'm just saying, play the percentages. My grandfather smoked unfiltered Camels until he's 90. It's at some point 2 packs a day. Right? And someone who lives in Muncie comes down with lung cancer with no explanation whatsoever. I said months ago, far away from any pollution and any. I know someone, a young guy, died of lung cancer, lived in the country. How do you explain such a thing? But because that's why we have to write a book called Koheles, because these things are, you know, they're clear. They're exceptions to everything. Yeah, but play the percentages, okay? Yes?
I know, like, as a little boy, in the, like, kindergarten, we always talk that there's only death and bad things in the world because Adam came from the face of God.
That, did you learn this in a Christian school or a Jewish school?
No, this was Jewish. My mother is
okay, old. Okay, fine.
Is that, like, really true? Because it seems that, like, with Koheles and Yonah and you know, Eo, we see that tragedy is really a part of the world that God really...
Yeah. Yeah, you say the Gemara in Shabbos definitely involve. The Gemara says if there's no sin, there will be no punishment. If there's no guilt, there will be no death. I always see lots of, you know, we see all these things. So we say, okay, it's a knas. It comes from the snake of Gan Eden. Dalad mesu beit yushan nachashim. People never sin, can still die from a snake bite, which is figurative for, you know, the sin from Gan Eden. But I just was quipping because, you know, the Christians make a big deal about that original sin and we're all, you know, imbued with that. We're not. We have the ability to perfect ourselves. Not because we feel that with the direction of the Torah we can become perfect. But Christians believe that you can't unless you just, you know, kiss up and confess to Jesus and he brings you in. I don't have to lie. Right? But be that as it may, Gemara just tells anecdotes that certain rabbi's colleagues, one lived to be 40 and then one lived on another 50 years. And it was ostensibly the same kind of person. Right? One had children, they all died, and they all turned sour, and the other one had so many children, and they all followed his path. And they say, you know, maybe 10 years from now, you'll go to a 15th year grade school or high school reunion, and you find out who's doing, you know, who's a multimillionaire, and you go, what, that guy? He's cheated on all my tests. So, some of these things still play the percentages, but do your best. Right? Remember, that was used to be a bumper sticker. Be kind to the nerds in high school. You'll probably be working for one of them. You know? Okay, so that's the Vilna Gaon cites this Gemara in Moed Katan about these inconsistencies, and that's what angers us. Because we like to see what seems to be fair. At a very young age, we have a sense of what's fair and what's not. Call you a word. It doesn't seem fair that Yesh Kone Olama B'Shah Achas, especially when the corollary to this is Yesh Oved Olama B'Shah Achas. Right? We talked about this last time, about some of the mistakes made from Gilgul. Okay, let's quickly turn. Vayisparel al Hashem vayomar ona Hashem halo zed dvar yedi yusi alad masi al ken kidam tu livroach tavshisha ki yodati ki ato elcham in vrchum erf apayim rfestabit necham al arroch. Man looks up to Hashem with these inconsistencies in mind, right? Okay, so I just don't see. I think we did this pasuk also before. And the Vilna Gaon starts to explain this perek that it only makes sense if you start talking about Gilgul. Now, do you need a little introduction on reincarnation? Yeah, you think so? I mean, it's not found explicitly in the Talmud, although there are some Rishonim who say it's hinted at in the Talmud, or they understand that there's a certain discussion in the Talmud to refer to reincarnation. But this is for sure. It's not found in Sadi Gaon's and Munus Videos. It's not in the Rambam's Monogram.
If it's not in the Torah and it's not in anywhere in,
because it's on every page of the Zohar. The Zohar is, of course, Jewish mysticism. So who is the Zohar? What is it? Where is it? Why wasn't the Rambam aware of it? The Rambam never mentions the Zohar, not in the Sadi Gaon. The first to mention the Zohar is a generation of Moshe de Leon. And at his funeral, his wife claimed that he wrote it. Even according to those who say Shimon Bar Yochai wrote it, everybody admits it was not available for Jewish use until about the year 1300.
What's the purpose of the Zohar?
It's mysticism. It's, you know, it's...
So a non-Jew reading it?
Yeah, they get into it too.
A woman was allowed to speak at the funeral?
She didn't speak at the funeral. She just said it to some of the students at the funeral. That... He attributed it to Shimon Bar Yochai. Because the first drash in the Zohar is a drash of Shimon Bar Yochai.
Is this Ram with women speaking at a funeral?
Please, guys, let's move on. Right? In 1300 it was, maybe. Okay, so he's saying, now you see why I escaped to Tarshish God. Because man wants a sure thing. And you know what a sure thing usually is? The moment. The moment.
Instant gratification.
I want it now. And religion expects me to put things off. Right? I can do that. I know everyone in the gym is putting things off. Right? You think they're having fun on that stair machine? Maybe they are. They're watching something funny. I don't know. But you think you're having fun while you're lifting up another three? It's what happens shortly afterwards. Shortly or sometime. Right? It's a lot easier to put on the weight than to take it off. Right? So that's his problem here. He says, God, since you're so forgiving, you know, you turn things around so quickly, you know, so why bother, you know, and gain the gratification so quickly of your redemption, right? So he says, "V'yomer Hashem, Ha'etev Charalach." You know, Yona is ready to die over this evil that's in his mind. Okay. He says, "Better to die." Have you heard of the Machlokas in the Gemara, whether the rabbis took a vote whether it's better to be born or better not to be born? Gemara in Erevin. And the majority, well, it seems, Nimnu V'Gamru seems to mean that, the Pshat, means that the majority said better not to be born. But here we are, let's make the best of it.
What does that mean, better not to be born?
Crazy, huh? Well, here we are. What difference does it make? We're here already. Right? What point are you making? Are you suggesting we kill ourselves so that we can get unborn again? Get to the next guild? What are you suggesting? So the Marsha gives what I think is a real Pleiadic explanation, because he reinterprets Nimnu V'Gamru. Usually Nimnu V'Gamru in the Gemara means they took a vote. Let's see, in this class, alright, six say that not to be born. So Nimnu V'Gamru, count six. Okay, that not to be born, let's conclude. No! Nimnu does not mean they counted the amount of people who voted one way or the other. This is the Marsha, write this at the end of Makos, it's brilliant. They counted the amount of mitzvahs in the Torah. How many are there? How many positive?
348.
248.
248.
Negative 365. It's a landslide. 63% to 37%. Why such a landslide? Right? 26 points. Mitzvah lo saseh over mitzvah saseh. If the Gemara at the end of Yuma is correct in saying that the mitzvos of positive mitzvos inculcate love, and the negative mitzvos are meant to inculcate fear, and that love is much greater than fear, why doesn't the Torah give us many more positive commands than negative commands? What does it mean that the Torah has to give you so many more negative commands than positive commands?
Even it out. Because it's love
and
more fear than like love.
I think it means that
man is
weak.
Man is weak. Man needs it. After all, God knows us. He created us. It was inevitable that we need our way out of the Garden of Eden. Alright? Alright, so why did you bother creating? I want you to strive to get back in. Right? Is it inevitable that you're going to do certain things and keep doing them? It could be, especially if you weaken yourself by becoming drunk and you weaken your inhibitions. It could be. But I will tell you that Yona, you have to keep striving.
It's kind of like a game you can't win.
All right, but still, you know.
Are you what?
If it's true, if you keep staying in the casino, you will lose all your money. At some point, you will lose all your money because that's how it's set up. Now, can some people go and just win a little and then leave? Yeah. All right. The point is, not that life is a gamble. Here's what the Marsha says: that the Torah, comma, knowing that we have this weakness, gave us this protection of all these mitzvahs lo saseh in order to even things out.
So what do you say the ideal is?
Nimnu V'Gamru, you get it? They counted and saw how many more lo saseh there are, and they drew the conclusion that, you know what? Better not to be born. But if we can use the Torah to even things out, and give ourselves the strength to fight back and to win this thing. Right? Then it's worth it. Okay, let's see what Yonah does with the rest of the parak. Yama, it does not serve your purposes to get angry and depressed over this. That's going to be Koheles without Koheles' conclusion. Koheles concludes Sof Davar Kol Nishma Selukim Yiro. At least that's why it's canonized, as we learned in the intro. That's why it ended up being canonized, because at least it ends on that high note. But if you live Koheles without the assurance that there is something for which to strive and what to strive for, then you'll just get angry and depressed. Okay? Vayetse Yonah min ha'ir, vayeshev min kedem lo'ir. So you, pasukei. So man sees that his prayers are not fully answered, so he leaves the city in order to try to return to God's presence. What does he do? He leaves the city. Like the Rambam says about you, you're allowed to leave a populated area if you're afraid that not only that you will learn from their evil ways, but that they'll force you into doing evil things. Okay? So he leaves the city in order to pursue this truth without being unencumbered from the temptations of the city. What does he build there? Vayaslo sham sukkah. Vayeshev tachtech v'tzeil alashir yireh ma'iyyeh v'hir. What does a sukkah do? A sukkah filters out most of the rays of the sun, which represents Gashmius. Okay, the tzeil is the Torah. The cham of the sunlight is whatever comes to take away your time from Torah, which can be malacha. Your Torah should be kavua, right? So he gets into the sukkah to help him with this struggle. Vayaman Hashem Elokim kikayon. Kikayon is like a gourd plant with heavy leaves. The kikayon helps him avoid the sun's harmful pursuits by being a protective shield to give us a boost in our battle waged upon the Yetzer Hara. It means that if you try, God will help you. And that's why he creates this kikayon for Yonah. This seems to be the behavior of manic depressive, right? Goes from being very upset, very angry, very depressed, and something small like a kikayon that will help to guard him from these sun's harmful rays makes him very happy. The next day, God, the same word, Vayaman, just as easily, a tola'as can remove that protection. Why bedafka tola'as? Why a worm? A worm is going to get the best of us. If you hear this saying, try to figure out the source of this. Many a pauper dined on fish that was caught with a worm that ate the flesh of kings.
Circle of life? Everyone dies.
King Lear. It's Shakespeare. So, where I have this book at home that I used to read to my kids. I give these books about, you know, storms and about presidents. This is a book about worms. Right? And on the last page, it said, on the last cover, it made of worms. Like the letters were made of a bunch of worms stuck together. And it said, see you soon. A little morbid for children, isn't it? So I took my kids fishing. Okay, but tachas hakikayon v'yivosh. And these worms, that will one day get the best of all of us. Right? Tolas removes this protection. Hashem implants with us a Yetzer Hara. Without it, we wouldn't marry, we wouldn't build houses. Alright, so we need the Yetzer Hara. But when it comes to harm us, we need the protection. That protection is the Torah. These 365 negative commandments. Okay? Okay. Vehikis Ruach Hashemesh Be'eman Elokim. All this Ve'eman, Ve'eman. Isn't the word Ve'eman used for getting the fish in the first place? Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Ve'eman Elokim Ruach Kodim Chavishis Fatach Hashemesh Harosh Yona. Ve'yisalof. Ve'yishal Es Nafsho Lamus Ve'yemer Tov Musim Echayim. Sun's rays, if unfiltered, get this, if unfiltered, because the Torah filters the Yetzer Hara. The sun's rays, if unfiltered and uncovered, will prove unbearable. Remember what happened to the beginning of Shir HaShirim, where the beloved says, "The sun has darkened my skin. I have not been able to tend my own vineyard because I am out in the sun." Tending to the vineyards of others. It should altiruni shesh zofasni hashemesh. Anyone say this on Friday night? Any Sfaradim? Shesh zofasni hashemesh. The sun has darkened my skin and made my skin parched. That's the Vilna Gaon says this pasuk ches is doing. The sun parched down on Iov and on Yonah, and he had no protection. So he asks again for his life. I'm sorry, again, man quickly gives up. Why aren't we up for the fight? We're so sure, Mr. Miller, you said before, we're so sure we're going to lose the fight, for sure. So I agree with you. If you stay in the casino the entire time, you will run out of money. You can't play at infinitum. The rules are set up that whatever you're playing, you will lose. Okay? Unless you, like I said, unless you know how to walk out.
Okay. Why
did
you say that?
Let's go back to what
so like, if you were,
man doesn't want to stay in for the long haul and put up a fight. If we're so convinced that I'm programmed, right, to lose. So I'm not going to. Why bother even putting up a fight? The answer is with the 365 mitzvahs, you know, with the protections, you have a chance. Yes.
So, like, you were to take that gambling example and put it to, let's say, from random Joe Schmo, who happens to be Jewish. So let's say you were saying the gambling, doing something bad is. Eating out kosher, let's say, and then the walking out could be what, learning Torah?
I'll tell you this. No one should say that the mitzvah of eating on kosher is meant to give us a healthy. Lots of kosher foods are not healthy, lots of unkosher foods are quite healthy. The issue is one of discipline. We're keeping kosher not because it's good for my heart or soul, but because it's a gzeiras hamelech. And in the end, I have an assumption that...
I'm trying to understand the concept, but that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it seems to me that what this is implying is that everyone should be very similar in their actions, and everyone should be... like there is one purpose to life. That's kind of what this is saying. There's one ideal. That's what I'm understanding.
Okay, the ideal may work differently for different people. There's no two people observe the same way. But in Hanami...
But would you agree that this walking away or this positive whatever in life is, let's say, it has to do with the learning of Torah?
Yes, that pursuit of truth is what...
So...
Is what the Vilna Gaon says the Om is teaching us can only be found...
Through Torah.
Through the filtering,
is saying is that the ideal of life, in order to, let's use a really weird word, like succeed, in order to succeed in this world, you have to learn Torah.
There's no doubt with one of the things the Vilna Gaon wants to get out of this is the sefer. But he calls it the search of truth because of the word Amitai. His father's name is Amitai, Yonah ben Amitai. To search for the truth. Now, does the Vilna Gaon Does he possibly ascribe to or disagree with the Ramban, who says very famously in Parshas Kedoshim, says that you can follow every single mitzvah of the Torah and still be a rogue. You can follow every mitzvah in the Torah and still not be a pleasant person. Because, well, we hope that the actions of the Torah will shape your character. It's not necessarily so that it will. Ramban may have written this because he saw such things. He saw people with scrupulous and observance, but with just louses. You know? It's very hurtful when you see, how has the Torah not refined you to being a better person? Right? He may disagree with your assessment, but, ostensibly, he's a rogue. He's a shlo. The Ramban actually elaborates and gives examples of someone who can... talks about a 24-hour day over what a person might do, where he doesn't violate a single rule of the Torah. He did every mitzvah he's supposed to, and he didn't do any violations, and the description he gives of his life. Now, to be sure, the man he describes has the good fortune of being fabulously wealthy. Alright, but does such a person exist? Are there some fabulously wealthy people? Yeah, so, okay, once you can imagine this fabulously wealthy person, then you can also imagine him just getting up for, let's say, a half hour in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, and 10 minutes in the evening to daven three times a day. To learn a little bit, right? To fulfill, be Isa Boyom and Balayla. Yeah. If it's a special day, he might have to do a mitzvah too. If it's a Chol Hamoed Sukkos, he might have to shake a lulav and esrog or something like that. Right? What's this guy driving? This guy knows he needs to do what he's doing.
Do you really get all the stuff that we get all here?
Yeah. You can't see the yellow line.
Exactly. And like if there's a bus there or something,
yeah, it seems like they're
branded on him. I see. When I'm teaching here about 10 times a day, I see someone just literally getting hit by something.
No, but they really need to redo the lines in the middle. Because over there, when it gets wider again, it gets really dangerous. Because you can't see any of the lanes.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, So he's fabulously wealthy, right? He gets up to do these mitzvahs, and he spends the entire rest of the time, I don't have to get too graphic here, with his 10 to 15 wives. Okay? So that guy's a noble Bishus Atari, he's a rogue, he's a zhlom. Zhlom is actually a word in the Scrabble dictionary. It's spelled two different ways, S-C-H-L-U-B or S-H-L-U-B. It means a roguish person. So he's a real schlub, but didn't do a single aveira. He goes from one wife to another, spending 45 minutes to an hour with each one all day.
But during the day, that's a problem.
All day, all night. No, he's. My father was talking at the time where polygamy was.
During the day.
All right, but anyway, but that's so no, that's all right. So just okay. So I am. What I'm trying to say is that according to Ramban, it wasn't necessary to say that the full observance of Torah is going to protect you from these harmful rays of sun that he's talking about here. Right? But it's not necessary to help you, but it certainly will help you. It can help you. I mean, it certainly will help you if you try, if you wanted to. But be aware that it may not. So man gives up. So Hashem tells him, "Yemar Hashem, ato chasta al kikayon shelo malta bo v'lo gidalto shebin laila ayah ubin laila avad." You're so worried about this kikayon, right? Enough to die? You're so angry about this lack of protection that this kikayon offered you? Did you work for it? Why is this bothering you so much? Right? Here's the story is drawing to an end. You just have one pasuk left. How can we fix this, right? Because that's the point. Man wants a sure thing, right? No one's going to put their hand right on top of a burning flame because I know from experience what's going to happen to my hand if I do that, right? So we want the sure thing. We want the the empiricism. I have empirical data that when I do A, if B happens, you know, I'll do what do what's in my interests, right? But religion is all about putting off that gratification, not for the immediate future, but some distance, right? Okay. So he says, I'm ready to die over this. I feel like I want to die. Yonah, you're boring me. How many times in this book are you going to tell me you'd like to die? V'ani lo achus al nin ve'ha'ir ha'gadola asher yesh ba'arbe mishtem esri vivo adam asher liyada ben yimino l'smolu v'hem harabah. Man still needs a chance to purify the ninveys of this world. They don't know yet how to serve Hashem with both the right and the left. This is brilliant. What do you mean? How do we serve God with the right and the left? If you have this Gemara, it's Gemara at the end of Brachas. Why it says in the Torah, Bechol Levavcha? It just says, V'avto Yisrael Hashem Lakecha, Bechol Libcha. How do you say your heart in Hebrew? Libcha. What's Levavcha? Okay, so here's a very great challenge. And this is not a class in Musar, it's a class in Tanakh. But here's the challenge. We must know ourselves. You have to know yourself. Right? Don't be afraid to acknowledge your weakness. You don't have to acknowledge to anybody but yourself. Maybe a therapist, but just yourself. Okay? If you don't know what your own strengths are, you don't know what your weaknesses are, either A, because you're not being honest with yourself, or you're just not manning up. There are only men here, so I guess I could say it that way.
Except for you and Dave, so...
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not personing up. Right, but the tzaddik knows how to matar. How the entire things. There are even other representative behemoths representing Sharbanei Adam. You know, they're animals here too. But all will ultimately be saved. Because it says, Adamu behemoto shia Hashem. Everybody has the opportunity to be saved. The Rosha at least shows up at the Seder, right? Certainly there's someone worse than him that didn't even show up. So he's mocking him, but he's asking a question. And he deserves an answer. Right? So that is the... that's the end of Yonah. Right? Is that ultimately the struggle is worth it. Ultimately man will be saved. And even the men on the right, the men on the left... Again, remember, men again, what's the right and the left? The right is your Yetzer Tov. The left is your Yetzer Ra. In Latin, right means dexter, left means sinister. Right? Whenever you have these pictures, like there are angels on one side, the devil's on your right, devil's always on your left shoulder, and there are angels on your right shoulder. So, some people are directed more by the Yetzer Hara, more people are directed, some people are more directed more by the Yetzer Tov. Right? But one thing's for sure, everybody's got both of them. And the Gemara says amazingly that we can even serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Yetzer Hara. So everybody has to serve Hashem with some kind of Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is supposed to drive you to certain ambitions, right? Remember the Gemara, I think it's in Bechoros, where rabbis prayed for an end to the Yetzer Hara. right? So no one got married. They couldn't find eggs. They couldn't, right? So you have to have maybe we should call the word Yetzirah some kind of English name to it, called ambition. Drive for achievement struggle and discern, determine how to go about this achievement in a way that doesn't step on anyone else or doesn't violate anything or doesn't violate morality or sensitivity and things like that. So to serve Hashem in both the right and the left, the Yitzhara and the Yitzhar Tov, and that's what it says, Bechol Levav. So let's look at the questions we have in Yonah. Why do we read Yonah on Yom Kippur Mincha? Why did Yonah try to escape? Compare Yonah and Eliyahu. Why was Nineveh so quick to repent? Besides never saying a word to Bnei Yisrael in this book, in what other day does Yonah stand out as a Navi? Imagine that, not a single word to Bnei Yisrael. But he stands out as a Navi because he's the most successful Navi in Tanakh. He's one for one. He also stands out in that he wants to fail. And usually a Navi is given a mission and he's jumped somewhere a little more enthusiastically than others. Yeshayahu very enthusiastically embraces his Nevuah. Yirmiyahu not so much. How can Od Arba'im Yom V'Ninveh Ne'epoches be true in any case? Right, this is just, the Malbim comes up with this. He says, in 40 days, this city will be overturned. Right, so, no. Either by you doing tshuva, in which case you'll turn over a new leaf, you get it, or Ninveh Ne'epoches, Ninveh will be obliterated, overturned, like Saddam was.
Why was Nineveh so quick to repent?
Well, we talked about that before. Is that when Yonah?
Because they saw how real everything was.
Yeah, they were gonna accept anything he said. Which is, the irony is that had he gone straight to them, which was God's will. So you see how Yonah is serving Hashem with his Yetzer Hara in the end? He's this great Yetzer Hara to disobey, and the disobedience ends up giving God what he ultimately wanted. Was the message to mankind that I'm the God of all human beings. My message is not limited to Bnei Israel. Yes?
I was wondering if you asked if you apply in this case both to Yonah individually and Nineveh as the city, whereas Yonah couldn't decide not to go. I was talking about an actual reading the story on a literal level, where he couldn't decide not to go. And at the same time, Nineveh, whatever he said, he would have accepted. So Yonah couldn't choose to be ineffectual enough, he couldn't choose not to go. They couldn't decide not to listen, and they couldn't. This is like.
It could be other than Mayan with stories like this, and they just didn't make it into Tanakh, but they should have. You know, Yonah is the message is that God says, listen, Yonah, you think that if you escape from Israel, I can't, no one can get a Nevuah outside of Israel, so it's finished. You think that, you're home free, even though you're home free from the Nevuah, but I may come out and kill you. But no, I have ways to get you back. Now, Yonah could have exercised his free will when leaving the whale to flee again, right? In which case, it's very likely that we'd never know his name, because that would have been the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back in God's eyes. In other words, when Yonah, who's been asking to die a number of times, comes very close to dying, sort of. We've been calling bluff all this time. Now that you're so close to dying, no, 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 please, God. He cries and cries for 72 hours inside the well. Yona's struggles are like all our struggles, as we go, we vacillate back and forth in this, but in the end, he's teaching us a valuable lesson of sticking with it. It's very crucial that after he leaves the whale, that he goes about the mission. He's not fully happy with the way the mission turns out, but you know, he goes about it. Yes.
So for the first two questions, I can kind of only think of one theme for each.
Well, a very simple lesson message is Yom Kippur is a day of repentance, and here's a day of repentance. So, and no matter how far someone might have strayed, like the people of Nineveh, let's say, or how about Yonah himself? Look at the last question in Milat Mancha. Remember in the first parak, how often you have the word Vayered, 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 and even three times, and then Vayeradam, describing how he fell asleep. No matter how far you descend further into the abyss, it's never too far to... You've never descended so far that you can't make your way out. Right?
That's what Milat Mancha is?
No, Milat Mancha is where one particular word appears often, let's say too often. The word... Like Vayiman might be a Milat Mancha. It appears four times in this book. It's an unusual word. Vayiman appears as many times in this book as the whole rest of Tanakh.
So what do we learn from the book?
It means that the book is suffused with that what's needed by man. Vayiman means to God invited up, God prepared. What's needed by man to make this struggle for the pursuit of truth is presented before us by God. So, right. And there may be many reasons why you're not getting the best of that in order to help you with that struggle. Okay, but it's unfortunate. That's back to the Gemara Mod Kut, the Chaim Mizoni Uvedita Uvimazo. Okay? But in the end, the Milat Mancha in Perek Aleph is Vayeret. It keeps on descending further and further. But Yom Kippur teaches us that you can fly away for 12 months and return on foot in 5 minutes. Okay, Rashi says he only tried to escape because he felt that the people will call him a liar. If they repent, he's a liar. You said it's going to be destroyed, and it wasn't. Alright, so the Malbim took care of that basically with however you understand, Dol Debon Yom within Vene Pachas can go one way or the other. Yes?
Just an existential question on PRI. So then why would anyone be good if you can just be bad your whole life and then repent in the last 5 minutes?
Oh, that's on one of the pages here. You write that. It says. If that works for you, you know, but don't try it because it usually doesn't work. You know, because when you get to that stage, But you know, the Gemara says if someone loses his lost article and you return it and he loses it again, keep returning it. Hashem is going to. Because as long as you mean well when you say it, that's what happens every Rosh Hashanah, no? I'm back here, God, saying the same thing I said last year. When are you going to get bored with me? Because he knows we mean well at the moment.
Is this necessary to grow up to say that the story actually happened?
Like I said, Yonah appears in Malachim Aleph, so I think it is safe. Okay, all right. So I think this is probably a new and a a new way to learn the book of Tanakh. Hope you enjoyed.